This fall, South Dakotans will once again vote on an abortion-related ballot measure. It's the third time in the past two decades that voters will decide the state's abortion law. State residents already defeated abortion bans on the ballot in 2006 and 2008. But 2 years ago, a legislative Republican supermajority maintained the state's near-total abortion ban after Roe v. Wade was overturned. This is the first national election since the U.S. Supreme Court overturned the constitutional right to legal abortion. Access to abortion is getting attention in this presidential election cycle. It's something Democratic presidential candidate Kamala Harris is making central to her campaign.
I absolutely support reinstating the protections of Roe v. Wade. And as you rightly mentioned, nowhere in America is a woman carrying a pregnancy to term and asking for an abortion. That is not happening. It's insulting to the women of America.
The Republican presidential candidate, former President Donald Trump, is viewed as the most pro-life president in American history. His U.S. Supreme Court picks helped tip the balance to overturn Roe.
For 52 years, they've been trying to get Roe v. Wade into the states. And through the genius and heart and strength of six Supreme Court justices, we were able to do that. Now, I believe in the exceptions for rape, incest, and life of the mother. I believe strongly in it. Ronald Reagan did also. 85% of Republicans do. Exceptions. Very important.
But it's not just presidential candidates who are talking about abortion and access. 10 states, including South Dakota, have abortion-related ballot questions up for a vote this year. The results will give the country an even clearer picture of where Americans stand on abortion access. Since the Supreme Court's ruling on Roe, voters in six states have approved maintaining access to abortion, even in red states like Kansas, Ohio, Kentucky, and Montana. In Justice Samuel Alito's opinion, he says it's time to return the issue of abortion to the people's elected representatives, back to the states to decide. This year's citizen-initiated Amendment G would prohibit South Dakota from regulating abortion during the first trimester of pregnancy. However, it would ban abortion after the second trimester, except to save the life of the mother. Even some abortion rights supporters are against the initiative, saying it's too weak to stand up to potential change from Republican lawmakers. I'm Jackie Hendry, and this is SDPB's Unplanned Democracy, the story of South Dakota's third vote on abortion in two decades. On June 24th, 2022, South Dakotans find out the right to a legal abortion is no longer law of the land. Dozens of protesters stand outside the federal courthouse building in Rapid City to protest the U.S. Supreme Court ruling that overturned Roe v. Wade. Some say they're numb. Others, like 21-year-old Leah Hardy, are angry.
Women will die. Or worse, they will be trapped in abusive relationships, stuck in the middle of nowhere with no resources.
Janelle Wright worries the Supreme Court won't stop at abortion.
Our rights are under attack as women, and Thomas and Alito both said that, I don't remember the ruling, sorry, but next is gay marriage and birth control. All of our rights are under attack, and it's bullshit.
The U.S. Supreme Court ruling in 2022, known as the Dobbs decision, overturned a key premise in the 1973 landmark decision Roe v. Wade. That triggered an immediate abortion ban that South Dakota lawmakers had passed more than 15 years earlier. Current state law bans most abortions in South Dakota, except to save the life of the pregnant person. There are no exceptions for rape or incest. Voters in the state rejected such laws twice in the 2000s. That's when Kate Luby was state director of Planned Parenthood in South Dakota. She talked with reporter Denise Ross more than a decade ago for the documentary Unplanned Democracy.
I think it sends a very, very strong message to the legislature and the governor that, you know, we've had enough. This was not a close election. We soundly defeated this and pushed them back.
But over the next two decades, anti-abortion leaders and lawmakers would pass new and inventive abortion restrictions to test the legal strength of the Roe decision. Back at the rally in downtown Rapid City, Heather Herbaugh Aberesk and her partner Duran joined the protest over the Supreme Court decision. The Planned Parenthood clinic here shut down in 2012, and in many ways, abortion was already an extremely restricted procedure in the state. The Aberesks say they want to share the experience, to mourn the loss of a constitutional right.
I wanted to be with people who felt as sad and heartbroken today as I do, and just show them that we're not powerless.
Yeah, I would say that, just that this anger and this shock, this outrage, but also this feeling the need to do something, that doesn't fade, that doesn't go away.
That same day, 2 years ago, about 100 Vermilion residents and students at the University of South Dakota gather at the Clay County Courthouse to protest after marching through downtown.
Choice! Always!
Anna Bottesini is with the group Students for Reproductive Rights.
We just really want to make it clear that this is not in the public's best interest. What the Supreme Court has decided is not what the majority of people want.
In Sioux Falls, hundreds take to the streets. Police in riot gear use smoke grenades to break up the crowds, which they say were unlawfully assembled. They make 6 arrests. Similar protests continue across the country. But in some cases, the Supreme Court's decision carries immediate consequences. One example garnered Governor Kristi Noem international headlines. Just days after the Supreme Court's ruling, a 10-year-old rape victim from Ohio had to travel out of state for an abortion. Noem was interviewed on CNN.
What I would say is I don't believe a tragic situation should be perpetuated by another tragedy. And so there's more that we've got to do to make sure that we really are living a life that says every life is precious, especially innocent lives that have been shattered like that 10-year-old girl.
South Dakota's abortion ban comes in the form of a so-called trigger law that takes effect immediately when Roe v. Wade is overturned. Republican Representative Joel Dykstra was the prime sponsor of that 2005 trigger law. He talked just after the Supreme Court decision.
We were in favor of this abortion policy, but we were barred by the Supreme Court from it going into effect. So the Supreme Court decision removes that barrier.
The law says anyone who administers, prescribes, or employs any instrument or other means with intent to procure an abortion, except to preserve the pregnant female's life, is guilty of a Class 6 felony.
It's obviously something we felt was a way for us to make a statement and to put down a firm position in the law, which would come into effect at some future date. So here it is.
The Supreme Court decision set up a new abortion reality in America.
Take the boot off our necks.
If I had confetti, I'd be tossing it high right now.
The day Roe fell was probably one of the worst days of my professional career.
And it was truly a new birth of freedom when the Supreme Court finally struck down Roe versus Wade.
We looked at Roe as a good framework for South Dakota.
South Dakota state lawmakers first banned abortion in 2004, making the procedure a felony, punishable with a 5-year sentence. The law got national attention and was designed to force legal action all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. The effort was backed by Republican Representative Matt McCauley. Back then, he was a 30-year-old lawyer from Sioux Falls. He was tired of waiting for someone, anyone, to overturn Roe. McCauley was interviewed for the documentary more than a decade ago.
Back when I was in law school, I was first reading the Roe versus Wade opinion, and even in college and looking into the abortion issue and how it had become accepted in terms of today's society, really very frustrated with the fact that this had been an issue for the courts and not for the people.
McCauley wanted a case that would overturn the Roe decision, but many worried the new challenge could reaffirm Roe. Fellow Republican lawmaker Brock Greenfield was also part of the documentary project. He said then it was a time when the anti-abortion movement was split.
The two sides of the pro-life movement, and I'm not talking at all about the, you know, pro-life versus pro-choice or pro-abortion. I'm talking simply pro-life has two different opinions.
One approach favored the painstaking process of chipping away at Roe v. Wade over time, while the other wants a case that will ban abortion. McCauley reaches out to national anti-abortion groups for help, but is ignored.
Called some of the national groups and said, give me some model legislation. There wasn't any. I was told that there was a plan. Someone said there was a master nationwide plan, one of these secret plans to overturning Roe versus Wade. I'm convinced such a thing does not exist.
McCauley forges ahead. In January of 2004, he introduces his bill. It bans abortion except to save the life of the mother or in case of serious risk to health. A large majority of state lawmakers sign on, both Republicans and Democrats.
When House Bill 1191 was introduced, we had two-thirds of the House as co-sponsors on the bill and a majority of the South Dakota Senate on the bill. National Right to Life was not excited about the idea. They did not believe that the time was right.
McCauley's bill passes the state legislature, but fails when Republican Governor Mike Rounds tries to change language in the bill through a rarely used veto. And in the end, it fails. After a break, we take a closer look at South Dakota's ongoing efforts to prevent abortion access.
SDPB's Unplanned Democracy is made possible with your membership to Friends of SDPB and the Report South Dakota Fund, with additional support from Wrench Law in Rapid City, lawyers defending South Dakotans since 1992. Learn more at wrenchlaw.com. Watch Denise Ross's 2008 documentary, Unplanned Democracy, on SDPB's YouTube page.
I'm Jackie Hendry, and this is SDPB's Unplanned Democracy. The first attempt to ban abortion in South Dakota fails in 2004, but the push generates momentum for future lawmakers to attack abortion access on multiple fronts. In 2005, the state legislature creates a task force to study abortion. The group concludes that to fully protect the rights, interests, and health of the mother and the life of her unborn child, a ban on abortion is required. The task force is not without its critics from across the political spectrum. That includes Joel Rosenthal, the state Republican Party chairman for nearly 20 years. He was also interviewed for the documentary.
Any notion that the abortion study was even-handed would be naive, given the way that the committee was put together.
Others say there was nothing fact-based about the work of the task force. Kate Luby talked for the documentary while she was state director of Planned Parenthood.
When we recommended to the task force that all the research included in the task force process be research that was published in a peer-reviewed journal with all sources of funding cited, which is very standard. If you're doing research-based task force type of work, that's what you do. You don't just allow people to have opinions and put that into your report, and that's what we had. They completely rejected the idea that we would use true scientific research in compiling this report.
Many abortion advocates describe the task force as a sham. However, the task force sought to answer questions that had lingered in the Roe decision. In doing so, it laid the foundation for abortion restrictions in sessions years down the road. Republican Brock Greenfield sat on the task force.
In 2006, everybody was united. We had a nice situation here in South Dakota on the pro-life front. Everybody was moving forward together. All those wounds had been healed.
The task force made several assertions that would serve as the basis for anti-abortion legislation in the future. It concluded that an unborn child from the moment of conception is a whole, separate human being, and that a mother has an important and beneficial relationship with her child that is irrevocably terminated by abortion. That sets the stage for Representative Roger Hunt's 2006 abortion ban. Those points are included in his bill, which he says, at its core, is rooted in the state's constitution. He was interviewed while in office for the documentary project.
This bill, not only in its title, refers to unborn children, but also to the protection of the health of women as well. That's part of Article 6 of our Constitution. Protect the life and the health of the people in the state of South Dakota.
That year, there's also an intense lobbying campaign to ban abortion. Republican Representative Alan Hanks describes the messages given to state lawmakers.
There was an awful lot of pressure, especially within the Republican Party. And the theme was repeated to me, if you're a good Republican, you're pro-life.
Lobbyists for the Eagle Forum, SD Right to Life, Concerned Women for America, and the Catholic Diocese work lawmakers to support the bill. Casey Mershall was interviewed more than a decade ago for the documentary project. She was a Republican lawmaker nearly 20 years ago.
I've referred to it as a legislator walking through a gauntlet of lobbyists. And to be honest, in South Dakota, it was certainly not on the pro-choice side.
Some lawmakers say lobbyists even follow them into the bathrooms located behind legislative chambers. If Republicans don't vote for the bill, lobbyists promise to make sure they'll lose their seat in the next election. The 2006 abortion bill is a consequential piece of legislation. Lawmakers backing House Bill 1215 rely on an unusual procedural move that prevents debate of any proposed amendments. The move is called tabling, and it calls for an immediate vote. Representative Mershall describes why she thinks changes were tabled.
It says we're not going to even debate this. We're not going to let everybody stand up and talk, and we're going to take care of this. We'll just table them. And on something that major, to make the kind of decision that this was not worthy of extensive debate was... That's offensive to me.
Supporters of the abortion ban rejected amendments because they wanted an uncluttered legal case to take to the Supreme Court. Representative Larry Roden says any discussion over adding abortion exceptions for cases of rape or incest would weaken the bill. His comments echo in a large room during a presentation.
It's pretty hard to stand before the Supreme Court and argue that we as a state have determined that life begins at conception, therefore we have the duty and the right to protect that life, and then turn around and say, but not if it's the result of rape or incest.
For Roger Hunt, the bill's prime sponsor, those exceptions create an abortion loophole. He points to state Department of Health statistics, which show fewer than 2% of abortions performed were a result of rape or incest.
Now, we could have obviously written a bill which said there is an exception for rape, which would then have, in my opinion, opened the proverbial barn door for all kinds of exceptions to the extent that what would happen when a woman walked into the Planned Parenthood clinic would be the first question asked, have you been raped? And when the answer would come out, obviously, yes. Okay, now we can give you an abortion.
In 2006, Governor Mike Rounds signs the bill into law as a deliberate challenge to Roe v. Wade. It was surely bound for the United States Supreme Court, and it encouraged other states to consider abortion bans. Again, Kate Luby, who was with Planned Parenthood.
If the legislators actually thought they were banning abortions in South Dakota, the vote would have been considerably different. They thought they were sending a court case to the justices. And that's a different vote than something that they really believed was going to take effect.
But while the legislature was aiming for the nation's high court, they would first have to face the court of public opinion. That's next time on Unplanned Democracy. Lee Strubinger wrote, reported, and produced this episode. Kate Smith edited the script. Matthew Hancock wrote our music and mixed this episode. Josh Chilson is our news director. Kara Hetland, our director of journalism. Twyla Olson is our director of content. SDPB's executive director is Julie Overgaard. Special thanks to the late Denise Ross, who originally reported and produced the documentary Unplanned Democracy, and to her husband, David Larson, who allowed SDPB to use her audio and reporting for this project. You can watch the full Unplanned Democracy documentary on SDPB's YouTube page. Be sure to check out more at sdpb.org. Please rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Jackie Hendry. Join me for the next episode of Unplanned Democracy.